Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. And I'm reporting to you from Pueblo, Colorado, the Colorado State Fair. Signing books down here. It's been a load of fun. Only one day yesterday is my day of signing. I'm going to be signing today, Saturday, till early afternoon. And then also on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Then on Thursday, I head over to Idaho for the Idaho State Fair, the Southeast Idaho State Fair in Blackfoot, which is also a blast with lots of great folks. Been talking to lots of readers. I mean, loads of readers. I probably had 30, give or take, folks who were reading the series come up and say hi today, which was great. And all of them wanted to know about Book 4, which we are planning to get out pre-holidays. Now that the wreck at the house is 85% under control and I have a flat surface, which is more than the 4-foot round table amidst the rubble in the kitchen and other assorted, should we say, life events have been whipped into shape, give or take. And I'm going to report to you next week on a couple things. I'm going to report to you next week, and by the way, my producer's nodding at me. Yes, I'm going to talk about today's show in just a moment. But next week, I'm going to give you the whole deal on Hillary Clinton's email scam. Because I don't think anybody's really laid it out from day one to now. And the progression of her excuses and her lies and her blathering and her corruption is absolutely breathtaking when you hear it in rat-a-tat-tat fashion. From the time it started to her most recent, shall we say, changes in posture. And I'm also going to talk next week about some positive things. That's right, positive things for America. Why the long-term outlook for this country, and long-term, to be frankly honest with you, may be longer than the lifespans of many of you who are listening to me. But, you know, we are concerned about our kids and our kids' kids. I'm going to talk about why the long-term outlook for this country is great, even if the short and intermediate term looks very dark and rocky indeed. And we talked about that last week, right? The financial indicators. If you didn't listen to that show, you should. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your family. You owe it to your pocketbook and you owe it to your country. Because bad things are coming. Bad things are coming. Today, I have a really interesting show for you. You know, while everybody's been fixated on this, that, those murders out there in the South by that whackball black gay guy. Oh, gee, is that politically incorrect? Let me say that again. The whackball black gay guy who killed those two reporters. I have my own theories on that. And I'm going to talk about that next week, too. You know, about a year ago, I did a show and I talked about the fact that Russia has developed the ability to implant suggestions in susceptible minds. And my curiosity has piqued with each one of these events, whether it's the Virginia Tech shooting or whether it's the Aurora deal or the mall deal or this deal. I mean, I'm going to go down the list for you, and it's, you know, each one is appalling. Each one is absolutely outrageous. But, you know, there's a link between them that piques my curiosity, and I guess my cynical nature, my distrust of the current government. All of these deals have the same MO. They have the same type of perpetrator, the disgruntled young male. In this case, it happened to be a black gay male. In other cases, it was an Asian disgruntled male at Virginia Tech. In another case, you know, the Aurora shooting, it was a white guy from the suburbs. I find it fascinating that all these people are so similar. We're going to talk about that next week, and I'm going to throw out some ideas for you to think about, and I'm going to give you some places you can do your own research. Because I don't think anything's an accident, and I don't think anything's a coincidence. And my suspicions are heightened by the fact that every time one of these things happens, there's this huge hue and cry, immediate. I mean, the gun smoke, the acrid smell of gunpowder hasn't cleared the crime scene, and the Democrats are talking about gun control, led by Obama, I might add, who has made, if you've been reading my articles, the top priority of his last 18 months in office, besides, you know, throwing a few more daggers into the heart of America on his overall agenda, gun control. The one thing he's really unsatisfied that he did not get done in his tenure as trader-in-chief. Anyway, that should be an interesting show. I still have more research to do, but stay tuned for that. And stay tuned for the true and unadulterated glimpse of corrupt and crooked Hillary. Now, today's show, number one, we're going to talk a little bit about the fact that the mainstream media is finally catching on to this is not an accident concerning Hillary and the FBI investigation and all that kind of stuff. Where did you hear that? I said that 2 months ago. I believe it was the show that was like 2 days after the FBI announced it was going to investigate. I told you, this is all part of a plan. There are no coincidences. And now the mainstream media is catching on. I'm going to go over an article that was written by Monica Crowley, who I think pegs it exactly, albeit 2 months after On the Right Side Radio pegged it. And then I'm going to give you, and this has been, you know, overshadowed by all the other crud going on. I'm going to tell you a little bit about John Holdren, Obama's science czar. If you go back into my archives, you'll see I did a two-part series on the czars of Obama. You should really, this is two and a half years ago. Perhaps, once again, my producers can get the link up. Perhaps not. They're easy to find. You should listen to it. Remember, I've been talking about the shadow government that this man has installed in the agencies and departments. You know, it's his legacy. It's the gift that's going to keep on going when he's no longer president, particularly if you have a Democratic president, because they're all going to stay. Now, the third thing that we're going to talk about is how, and it's all interrelated. Remember, everything is interrelated with everything else. Nothing happens in a vacuum, particularly when you have progressives after a long-term agenda. Everything is planned. Everything has a cause and effect, and everything has an end game. So Obama's population control freak, Holdren, it's going to be very interesting for you to hear what he's been doing and the fact that he's fighting in federal court to withhold his private emails, which have to do with agency business. Wow, where have we heard this before? This seems to be an epidemic in the Obama administration. However, what he is promoting and what he is promulgating, which affects energy and ecology and greenhouse gases and all the nonsense that's going on with EPA, is having a detrimental effect on America and is part of, a large part of, I might add, America's decline in the Freedom Index, which I'm going to talk about today. It's going to be the last part of the show because it's all interrelated, folks. The more you can undermine American industry, the more you can undermine American faith in God and country, the more you can undermine American values, the more you can regulate the people, the less free the country is, and the less free the country is, the less economically powerful it is. I'm going to have some surprising stats for you in the show. So let's get started, shall we? Let's talk about Monica Crowley, who I think is a very bright lady. She had an article just a few days ago. Quote, "The president craves a successor who will preserve his legacy." Gee, I think that's exactly what we said 2 months ago. She starts off the article, "There is only one person who controls Hillary Clinton's fate, and it isn't Hillary Clinton." You know, she is so right. So, let's go back a little bit, shall we? The Clintons and the Obamas have always disliked each other. They have gotten along out of expediency, just like Mrs. Clinton gets along with adulterous Bill out of expediency. She's a very expedient and corrupt person. Whatever's good for Hillary is good. Let me give you a few examples. In the 2008 debate between Obama and Hillary, Clinton was talking about how likable she is, which in and of itself is a laugh. I mean, what a droll. And Obama retorted on national TV, "You're likable enough." I mean, that's a huge put down. Then do you remember that when Obama played the race card on the Clinton campaign, Bill Clinton, like a wounded tiger, reared up and said, "I can't believe he played the race card on me," and expressed bitter disappointment on Obama. And then let me give you a third one. Okay. Bill Clinton put down Obama. This is like right as Obama was starting to pick up steam in the 2008 primaries and Hillary was beginning to lose steam. I quote, this is Bill Clinton, "A few years ago, this guy would have been getting us coffee," unquote. Now, since you have had the pleasure, quote unquote, of knowing Barack Obama for the last 7 years, and you know what he thinks of white guys and white girls, and what he thinks of brown-skinned people, and what he thinks of America, and what he thinks of the oppression of minorities by the white supremacists, blah, 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 and how he has incited racial division in this country, which, by the way, as a quick sidelight, played a role in the murders of those two poor reporters out there. That's right. Barack Obama and Eric Holder and the race division they have created, the race hating they have created, the Al Sharpton visits to the White House and his emissary dispatch by the White House to foment unrest, played a role in the deaths of these two poor reporters. If you read this whackball black gay guy's manifesto, he was talking about starting a race war, and how everybody looked down on him because he was black, and doubly looked down on him because he was gay, and etc., etc. These ideas were instilled in his head. Who knows what other ideas? We'll talk about that next week. Okay. So, the FBI investigation, folks. Nothing happens within the FBI or an investigation with Barack Obama's president unless he wants it to. Remember Fast and Furious? Didn't go anywhere. Remember the IRS? So far, hasn't gone anywhere. And we can go right down the list. EPA investigations, the private email servers of the EPA chief, the Commerce Secretary, you name it, all against the law. No investigations, you know. And Obama would go on and very publicly denounce any suspected wrongdoing is, you know, partisan and political, and there isn't, as he told Bill O'Reilly in his famous Super Bowl interview, there isn't a smidgen of evidence about the IRS. Of course, we knew there was, and now that Lois Lerner's emails are really coming to light, you know, those emails that they couldn't find, it's a slam dunk. I mean, she and the IRS, the people who work with her, were crooked, just totally crooked, totally unconstitutional, totally anti-America, totally anti-political divergence. I mean, I can go on and on. The bottom line is, look, this guy lies to us habitually. All his people lie to us habitually. This is what he is. This is what he does. There's no sense beating a dead horse here. But one of the things he is he is really smart. And I have said this since the get-go. This guy is not a dummy. He's not incompetent. He knows exactly what he's doing. And he wants a third term. He's talked about having a third term. Monica Crowley quotes it in her article. And you've all heard it. He can't have a third term. So he needs somebody he can control to have a third term, to continue his legacy, to continue, as Monica reminds us, the fundamental transformation of America. And they're even throwing out, of course, Biden. They're throwing out he'll only serve for 4 years. Don't worry about it. It'll be a short-lived stint. I think in a way he's kind of telling us, gee, I'll have America completely on her knees in 4 more years. That's how I read that statement. But the whole thing is political cunning. So, you know, the bottom line is Hillary's going down, folks. And, you know, he has nothing to lose if you think about it. If he has this investigation and he can push Hillary out, even if he has to criminally charge her, then he gets Biden or somebody else that he wants in. He's going to have to make amends, as Monica correctly points out, with the far left of the party. And, you know, listen, the far left of the Democratic, or should we say Progressive Party now, is like left of Stalin, okay? I mean, that's how far left they are. They are loons. But he's going to have to make amends with them, the followers of Bernie Sanders, and he's going to have to make amends with women. Because Hillary's base right now, literally, is the 20% of far-left loons who aren't for Sanders, and women. A lot of women will vote for Hillary for no other reason because she'll be the first woman president. I mean, what a horrible reason to vote for anybody. You know, the first Jewish president, the first black president, the first lady president, the first Asian. I mean, look, anytime you vote for somebody because they're the first of something, that is really, really, really abdicating your responsibility as an American citizen to choose the best qualified candidate. I don't care if they're Martian, red, black, blue, whatever. It doesn't matter. You don't vote for somebody because they're the first. Ridiculous. But he's going to have to assuage women. He's going to have to get them kind of back in line because they're going to be a little upset that Barry bounced Hillary. And how does he do this? Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren is a far left loon. That'll keep the far left happy. And she's a woman. That'll keep the women happy. And who did Biden meet with? Monica doesn't talk about this because her article came out right before it. Who does Biden meet with? Secretly, quote unquote, big leak by the White House, but supposedly secretly a week ago, Elizabeth Warren. Folks, there's no coincidences in any of this. Do you understand? So here's my prognostication, and I made it 6 months ago. I reiterated it 2 months ago. Hillary Clinton is unlikely to be the nominee of the Democratic Party. Unlikely. I don't know if Biden's going to step in. I think he probably will. But in any event, Elizabeth Warren is in the mix, and there may be others in the mix too. Obama has nothing to lose. If for any reason Biden won't step in, or Elizabeth Warren doesn't want to be VP, or his little plan for the alternates, shall we say, disappears, he can simply tell the FBI, I want you to find that there's no problem here, and he can reinstate Hillary as the nominee. If, on the other hand, his henchman, his third term, wants to step into the deal, he can indict Hillary or force her out of the deal. Did you see the picture in Martha's Vineyard when he was on vacation about 10 days ago? He's playing golf with Bill Clinton. And if you look closely at Bill Clinton's face, he's not a happy camper. I mean, man, his face looked like one of the images on Mount Rushmore. That's how stony it was. I have a feeling that there were discussions in that golf cart about what's going to happen to Hillary if she doesn't bow out of the race. What do you want to bet? In any event, let's move on to the next subject, which actually is more important than corrupt Hillary and lying Barry, at least for now. So, John Holdren. John Holdren is Barry's science czar. Go back and listen to my shows on the czars. I told you about this shadow government nonsense, these people who operate in the dark, in this most transparent, this well-lit, this sunshine of an administration. Not. So, Holdren. Holdren is the guy who is behind this whole deal over coal, over fossil fuels, over the Keystone Pipeline. This is the guy who is shutting down or trying to shut down fossil fuels on federal lands. This is the guy who has time after time lied and trumped up claims about global warming, climate change, you name it, all in the point of control. And this guy does not like humanity, I want you to know. In addition to all the stuff I had in these past shows on him, and he's a scary dude. I mean, he's a scary dude. He's being sued now by the Competitive Enterprise Institute, who's now appealing a D.C. District Court ruling that basically, how do I make this simple? Holdren used to work for an outfit called the Woods Hole Research Center, which is a far, 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 like so far left, you need binoculars to see him, outfit. He's been running agency and government business through his private email and private email server at the Woods Institute. He won't reveal those emails. That is what he is being sued over. People have a Freedom of Information Act, and they want those emails if it pertains to government business. As usual, just like the State Department, I mean, this is the same MO. This is what this government is now. They're saying they have no duty to hand over his personal emails, nor do they have any duty to collect them. And of course, the Competitive Enterprise Institute is arguing, oh, hell, let me read their argument to you themselves. CEI argues that the federal transparency law applies to the work-related records, quote, applies to the work-related records of agency employees, regardless of where they are stored. Many agencies routinely instruct their staff to preserve any documents that they might have in their personal email accounts. Yet, Holdren, who's the czar, or the head of the White House Office in Science Technology Policy, Holden has placed himself above the law, just like everybody else in Obama's administration. You're seeing it manifested mostly with Hillary right now because he needs something else out of her. Quote, it makes little sense to claim that an agency is not withholding documents when it refuses to produce documents held by its own chief executive that relate to agency business. That was CEI's legal brief. Gee, that makes sense. Even if OSTP, that's Holdren's agency, shall we call it, had demonstrated that these emails were not within its actual control, which it did not, its failure to search its director's personal account would still violate FOIA, because any agency records in that account fall within the agency's constructive control. Folks, this is a repeat. This is a mirror image of what's happening with the State Department and Hillary Clinton. And as you know, a court has ruled that the State Department has to go after him, has to get him, and has to reveal him. I think the same thing's going to happen eventually here. One of the things which will be in this email is a tie-in between how he is directing government policy, and he is a godless man. I want you to know that. Godless. He has no faith. He detests American values. He detests capitalism. He detests God. He detests the family. He is the Antichrist, if you will, to the Constitution, along with his boss. Let me give you an idea. One of the things that the CEI wants to find out is in what respect his emails for government business and government dealings reflects his personal viewpoints rather than stated law. Here, this is one of the things they're looking at. He wrote a book, I told you about it in 2 years ago, with his fellow whack jobs, Paul and Ann Ehrlich. And the name of that book was Echo Science. Creepy, folks, creepy. I mean, this is a creepy, this is like out of Alfred Hitchcock. And you'd make a horror movie out of it, except it's real. Here's some of the arguments made in that book. Number one, women can be forced to abort their pregnancies whether they wanted to or not. How's that for women's choice? The Democrats, the progressives, the party of women? Yeah, okay. Number two, the population at large could be sterilized by infertility drugs intentionally put into the nation's drinking water or food. I'm not making this up. This is in his book. This is a guy who's at the upper tier of Obama's administration. And guess, by the way, where he wanted to start this little eugenics experiment? That's right, the American ghettos. You know, minorities, black folks, the people who are supposedly oppressed. Obama's administration wants to sterilize them. Wow. Okay, number three, single mothers and teen mothers can have their babies seized from them against their will and given away to other couples to raise. Another big stand-up for women's rights, huh? Number four, people who contribute to social deterioration, i.e. undesirables, that probably includes me and almost everybody who's listening to this radio show, by the way, quote, can be required by law to exercise reproductive responsibility. In other words, no more conservatives. We can be forced to have abortions or be sterilized. You guys think I'm kidding? If you can find a used copy of the book, so these guys make no money, since they're anti-capitalists, you know, they don't need any money, you should read it. I mean, your eyes will pop out of your head. The name of the book is Ecoscience by John Holdren, H-O-L-D-E-R-N, and fellow whack jobs Paul and Ann Ehrlich, E-H-R-L-I-C-H. I mean, I'm just hitting the broad parts, folks. Almost every page will have your eyes crossed. And to know that he's top level in your government and directing environmental policy with the EPA and all that kind of stuff, which, by the way, had its new water rules kicked down by a court this week. Gee, here we go again. We're going to be the third Supreme Court ruling to throw out their crap. Oh, wait a minute. Here's another one out of his book. A transnational, quote, planetary regime, unquote. A planetary regime. Wow. You know, I'm shaking my head here into the mic. Should assume control of the global economy and also dictate the most intimate details of Americans' lives, using for enforcement purposes an international police force. Huh. And of course, he's a staunch advocate of gun control, because you can't have those undesirables having guns, you know, or religion. They can't be clinging bitterly to their guns and religion. Anyway, the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, that's Holdren's czar gig, has refused to answer any questions either to them or to Holdren about his views on forced abortions and mass sterilizations, or continued embrace of forced abortion advocate. This guy was trained by a eugenics guru. You know what a eugenics is, right? Basically, you kill people to control population. How's that? You kill them as fetuses, you kill them as humans, you let old people die, particularly conservative old people, and that's how you cleanse the planet of this human scourge. Anyway, the guy who taught him was a guy by the name of Harrison Brown, who Holdren says inspired him to become a quote-unquote scientist, kind of like Dr. Mengele, in my opinion. And Holdren's mentor, this guy Harrison Brown, in his book he called the global population, quote, a pulsating mass of maggots, unquote. You know, when I tell you in my radio broadcasts that Obama and crew don't give a damn about you, don't care about you at all, whether you're a woman or whether you're black or whether you're white, well, particularly if you're white, particularly if you're not brown-skinned, particularly if you respect God or some spiritual force, particularly if you have guns, particularly if you live in a red state, and particularly if you have conservative values. But they really don't care about anybody, folks. Not women, not blacks, not brown skin, not anybody. They just care about themselves, their ideology, their power, and their pocketbooks. And in that respect, Hillary Clinton fits right in with this crowd. Anyway, Holdren is a zealot, okay? He is a radical, rabid monster of a human being, if in fact he is a human being. And his insidious ideology, his hidden policy communications that he's trying to keep hidden, they've had an untold and will have an untold impact on America and American taxpayers. This guy is the top strategist in Obama's war on carbon, war on coal, war on the West, and war on the economy. Okay? This is a bad dude. And because of his thoughts, which undermine faith, undermine the Constitution, undermine community, undermine American values, because of him and people like him over the last 7 years, that brings us to our next segment and final segment of this show. And that is the fact that America has now fallen out of the top 10 of the freest nations on earth. This is a report that is done almost every year by the Heritage Institute. And yes, they are a conservative think tank. But they did a fascinating report, and I believe it's posted on the articles. In 1995, America was fourth from the top. We were the fourth freest nation on the earth. However, we have now sunk to 11th. In some studies, 10th. In any event, they have all the countries classed. They have the countries classed as free, which is a score of 80 to 100 on their scale. Mostly free, 70 to 80%. Moderately free, 60 to 70%. Mostly unfree, 50 to 60%. And repressed, 0 to 49%. Those are the five levels of ranking. And to rank, they rank the nation's lack of regulation. They rank the nation's mentality of its leadership. Is it for the little guy, private enterprise, etc., or is it for big government and regulation? They rank the assault or the bolstering of faith, a faith in some type of God, some type of spiritual faith. They rank the support of family formation, typical family formation, and a host of other factors. And what they come up with is their ranking scale. And I told you what it was back in 1995 when they began it. And today, we are no longer in the group that is called free, 80 to 100%. We have now slipped into the mostly free, 70 to 80%. North Korea, as an example, and Iran are in the repressed 0 to 50%. Okay. Russia is moderately free. It's not far behind us. And we've been beat out, by the way, by several countries who are in ascendancy because they are promoting freedom. They're promoting the family. They're promoting faith. And the theory behind the Heritage Study is that capital in a capitalistic world goes to those places which are most innovative, goes to those places where the capital is most safe, and goes to those places where the capital is most welcome. And those places, and they have proven this over the years with numerous studies, I mean, it's really pretty fascinating. Capital will gravitate over time to the most free of countries. That is, countries which promote freedom, family, faith, and their own constitution, whatever it happens to be, and who decry and keep to a minimum government largesse, regulation, taxation, you name it. I mean, it's common sense, really, isn't it? And one of the things that they talk about is current spending and borrowing. And I talked about this last week. So it ties right in to last week's show. The more solvent a country, the more free a country, and vice versa. The more free a country, the likelihood, the more solvent the country should be. And with America's increasing, rapidly increasing, exponentially increasing debt, we have also been knocked out of the top 10, the free group. We're now just the most free group. We've been overtaken by countries like Thailand and Belgium. We're not even the freest country in North America, folks. Canada is. And they have all the stats and sites here, and they do a great job of going over it. I mean, it's a very, very, very convincing study. And when you look at the countries and how they're ranked and what's happening with them economically, Hong Kong, Thailand, Canada, you see it. I mean, it's right there for you to see. This study kind of quantifies it. So, they have a section in the study which is how to cope with a post-American America. And they have a really cool preamble to it. I'm going to read it to you. What I mean by post-American is that America occupies the same geographic space and contains the same nation-state, but no longer subscribes to American ideas. America still occupies the same space south of Canada and north of Mexico. It still sits between the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans, but it no longer occupies the same space in the global economy, because it no longer occupies the same space in the relative freedom and virtue of nations. This is an America that has become bored with its freedoms. That quote out of the study really struck me. Now here's something interesting for you. So in the top 10 countries, the free countries of the world, are Hong Kong, Singapore, Australia, New Zealand, Switzerland, Canada, Chile, Mauritius, Iceland, and then the United States. Wow. Pretty amazing. That list was entirely different 10 years ago and entirely different 10 years before that. The one thing that was constant in this list for all these decades up to now is that America was in the top 10, usually the top 4. So thank you, Mr. Obama. You've done a wonderful job of helping us all out, all those people you care so much about, you know? All right. A nation, I'm going to read you some more out of this study. A nation which is spiritually vital tends to form growing families, which in turn bring a steady stream of new people. New people are, according to the great demographic economist Julian Simon, the ultimate resource, providing minds and hands to solve problems, produce goods and services, and providing a consumer market for all other people's goods. People become more burdened than resource only when they are left insufficiently free to pursue their creative gifts, when their property is confiscated rather than safeguarded, when they are paid more not to work than to work, when they are stifled by taxes and regulations or are subject to subtle forms of confiscation through monetary debasement. Wow. I mean, does that sum up everything that's going on in one paragraph out of this multi-page really well done study with so many facts and figures makes your head spin? I think it does. I'm going to use that paragraph again, as a matter of fact. Look, all this is tied in, folks. The people who are driving policy have made us less free. Being less free has undermined our financial stability, which I talked about last week. And being less free has undermined our short and intermediate term future dramatically, and our national security dramatically. Because as we've been weakened economically, we have lost power in the world. We have lost the ability to finance a military that is second to none. Everything is interrelated. Now, I've given you 3 or 4 weeks of bad news, some of it really bad news, and some of it kind of inevitable and inescapable. And I have exhorted you to prepare yourselves financially, physically, security-wise. What you do is up to you. But your country needs you to do that. Your family needs you to do that. Next week, it's going to be my pleasure to tell you about, perhaps after our lifetimes, why the ultimate future is bright for America. Because at heart, believe it or not, never mind these dark pieces of news that I bring you because it's my job and nobody else does it and nobody else ties it in for you. I am an optimist at heart. I love this country, and I think this country will win in the end. I think the forces for good, for American values, for the Constitution, which is maybe the greatest document ever put down on the face of the earth, other than the Bible, for those of you who are religious. It is, we are a grand experiment. And we're entering that phase where the laboratory is filled with smoke. But I think that we'll emerge clean and fresh, and once again be that shining city on the hill. It's just going to be a while from now. And we're all going to have to grit our teeth. And we're going to have to do what we need to do to make this place more free, to make government less large, to make government less intrusive, to adhere to the principles of the founders, to keep ourselves safe and our families safe and fed with water and armed for protection. And we're going to have to get involved in politics to cement our national security, which of course filters down to our community and individual security. There's a lot for us to do. Perhaps in the end, if we really can stand on our own two feet, if we really can live to the fulfillment, the potential of this generation, you know, of the baby boomers, shall we say, maybe we will go down as at least the second greatest generation. Because the struggles we're engaged in, be it against radical Islam, and a president who can't say that term, be it against the purposeful wrecking of American values and economy, be it against the disarming of America. There's a host of items. The battle we are engaged in on all those fronts is, in the aggregate, a greater battle than even the greatest generation faced in taking on Japan and Nazi Germany. Now, I guess it's up to us to rise to the occasion. I'll talk to you next week, and maybe some optimism and some smiles in your direction. In the meantime, I'm signing books at the State Fair and enjoying every minute of it. Come on down and say hi. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. You have a great week.